All right, thank you, Ken, and I want to thank everyone who answered the call and came to the member meeting. I deeply appreciate it. As I said in my announcements that I put out, the purpose of this member meeting is to tell you about a house in La Vida that we are extremely interested in making an offer on. There are some very interesting challenges, some of which are just going to have to be watched. Nobody can do anything about them. But then there is one challenging area where I can use some help, and I will share that with you as I go forward. So that's really the agenda. The first thing I'd like to do is tell you about the house. And in fact, if you haven't looked at it yet, you can go and look at pictures of the house while I talk about it. If you go to awakening-together.org, you know, go to our website. And then when you get to our website, go to retreats and classes. And then underneath retreats and classes, you will see Retreat House. Just click there on Retreat House. So again, that's awakening-together.org. The Retreats and Classes menu, and then click on Retreat House. And then once you click on Retreat House, underneath that you'll see where it says Current Available Properties. And if you click on Current Available Properties, the very first link on that page, which is described as a three-bedroom home in town with mountain views, two nearby lakes, one-third acre. That's it. So if you click that link, if you haven't seen the house yet, you'll be able to look at pictures of the house there. And Ken has given you a link to help you with that. So if you click on the link he's given you, you'll go directly to our Retreat House page. He's also given you a link to the house itself, which is 807 East Field Street, La Vida, Colorado. I would say that the primary reason that we are interested in this particular house is because it is in town. It is in the city limits. It's not in the country. And up until now, I think all of the properties that we have looked at have been in the country with acreage. This house is different. It is in town. It has no acreage. It's on one-third of an acre. But this house is the very last house in the La Vida city limits, and it is directly next door to a lake, the Wauhatoya Lake. And the Wauhatoya Lake is a public lake, but it is not a crowded lake. But what that means is you can walk out the door of this house and walk a few steps and you're at a lake that has a trail that goes all the way around it. It has several beautiful natural places. Even if you didn't take a chair, there's like rocks, several different natural places to go and to sit. The house and the lake are both up high on a hill, so you have mountain views in every direction. No matter where you look, there's something incredibly beautiful to look at. it's incredible. The lake that is right next to the house, on the south side of that lake, there's a small grouping of trees, not really a forest. It's too small for me to call it a forest, but when you're hiking through it, you do get the feel that you're in a forest. I don't know how many acres that is. It's probably about 5 acres of trees, maybe, including some aspen trees. So the backside of the lake has a really nice tree area that you can go in if you love trees on the south side. And then the north side of the lake is open with the magnificent views. So whether you like the views or the trees, you have a side of the lake to really enjoy. If you go, if you walk around this lake to the other side, if you walk from the west side of the lake to the east side of the lake, go down to the road and walk a very short distance, less than a quarter of a mile, there's actually another lake, a second lake, again, with trails all the way around it, lots of trees on the backside, even more trees with this lake than the first one. So one thing that we like about this house is that There are, I mean, I don't know how many acres these two lakes add up to. I'm gonna, you know, at least 40 acres. There's probably much more than 40 acres. There's several acres of property that you, that would be available for your use that we don't have to take care of or tend to, right? It's not our responsibility. Jay says he'll attest to how beautiful it is because he walked on that trail. And Jacqueline is saying it's perfect for our purposes. The people who have seen the house are Jacqueline Eckert, Jay McCormick, Lisa Hester, Norma Clark, and Ann Blanchard has seen the outside. So there have been members that have been able to see the house. Another thing that we like about this house, again, as I mentioned, originally we were always thinking about being out of town, you know, somewhere where you could walk trails and stuff, which you can do here. But, you know, whenever I go to La Vida and whenever anybody goes with me, like Lisa or Jacqueline, you know, and stays the week with me, we actually enjoy being in town. You know, La Vida is a very small town. In fact, right now they have 779 residents, so it's a very small town. And they have like a general store with a really cute old-fashioned ice cream parlor. There's like one coffee shop. There's a small library. You know, there's just these little quaint places that it's nice. You know, it's nice to go to that coffee shop and just sit outside with a cup of coffee, or it's nice to go to that general store and get an ice cream cone. And it kind of occurred to us, if we like being in town, other people might like being in town too. You know, maybe having a house where you, you know, you walk to the east and you have two lakes with trails, or you walk half a mile to the west and you're in this cute little bitty town, maybe that's really the best of both worlds. You know, maybe everyone would really enjoy that. By the way, the lake does allow kayaking, and one of the things we would love to do is get a couple of kayaks so that people can carry the kayak just, you know, a few feet over to the lake and get in the kayak and do kind of a kayaking meditation. We'd also get a couple bicycles, because again, it's a very small town, very little traffic, even on the county roads outside of town. And so people who like to go riding around and looking at the mountain views, you know, it's something else that could be done. So just the more we looked at this house and the more we considered all of the possibilities of this house, the more we thought, wow, maybe this is really what's best for us right now. The house itself has officially three bedrooms, but the man who currently owns the house is a world-famous quilter. And so what the house also has, in addition to the three bedrooms, is a very large quilting room, which we could use as our fourth bedroom. In fact, it's so large, we could probably divide it up and put two bedrooms in there. It's really a quite large room. So it's a four-bedroom house, if you count the quilting room. And then, of course, it has a very large family room downstairs, which would be a nice meditation space or a nice meeting space when we have gatherings. The house has two decks. It has an upper deck, which goes around three sides of the house, and then it has a lower deck. Even the lower deck, however, is still, because it's on a hill, right? Even the lower deck is still up with views. The difference is the lower deck is covered by the upper deck, so the lower deck is shaded and the upper deck is sunny. So like maybe on cooler days, we sit on the upper deck and are warmed by the sun. On hotter days, we sit on the lower deck and we have the shade. I noticed that Cheryl is commenting on the kitchen is fabulous. It is. There is no doubt about it. It even has a double oven, which is super if you're cooking for a lot of people, right? So it has a huge refrigerator. Carrie is here. She's Yawina, for those of you that don't know. You know, Carrie has always wanted us to have horses, and I've always said no. You know, we're not going to have animals we have to take care of. But this house is across the street from a beautiful pasture that has two horses and a zonkey. Now, for those of you who don't know what a zonkey is, it's half zebra, half donkey. And even though the zonkey, of course, has stripes like a zebra, his name is Spot. And we've already met the man who owns the zonkey. The horses are friends. They're there to keep the zonkey company. But we've already met the man who owns the pasture, and he has invited us to go up and to pet those animals whenever we want to. And if you go up to the fence, they come right to you because they want They want your attention. So there we go, Carrie. Horses and a zonkey that we don't have to take care of. I don't know what else. What do you guys have any questions about the house itself? Anything I'm not saying? Or does Jacqueline, who has also seen it, is there something that you want to take the mic and share? Or Lisa, I think Lisa might be here now, who's also seen the house, just to kind of help give the vision of the house. Is there anything you guys want to share? Tony says, just wondering, do any furnishings stay? Not that we're aware of, but to be honest, the furnishings in this house are very, very large, and they almost take up too much of the space. And that's one of the things we were commenting on when we were there, how large the furniture was, and it would be nice to have a more spacious feeling. So I don't know that the furniture is our preference, but we haven't asked if any of the furnishings stay. We have a question about the water quality and availability, along with the question about is it on city water and sewer? Yes, it is on city water. Yes, it is on city sewer. And so, yes, the quality of the water there in La Vida is very good. Yeah, Carrie says she was thinking it's the same thing, a smaller property that adjoins public land. Maybe another thing I should say about this property is the price. The price is very good. The list price on this property is $359,000, which is one of the lowest list prices of any property that we've had interest in. So it's a very reachable price. Tell you what, I can't really think of anything else I have to say about the house unless you guys have a zoning question. What's the zoning question? Oh, is there any zoning to permit retreats? I see the zoning question. The house is zoned as rural residential, which is an interesting zone. It's a zone we've never seen before. Even the realtor was like, I haven't seen that one before. So what we have been advised to do is to call the city and to ask permission first, to ask permission if it would be okay if we have a retreat house there, to explain what we want to do. The indication is there shouldn't be a problem, but that we should ask. And I'll tell you in a moment why I haven't asked yet, because I intend to. I have the phone number and the name of the person I need to call, but I haven't done that, and I'll explain that in just a moment. There are nearby bed and breakfasts. There's one about two blocks away, so we think that since there are bed and breakfasts in the area that our retreat house shouldn't be a problem. But we do have to ask that question, so we will. All right, so let me start telling you about some of the challenges. The first challenge is just unbelievable. This house, we went and saw this house on the inside on Thursday. And Carrie is saying also a swell if larger retreats take place. I will just say, although we may have larger retreats there, and we were looking at the family room to make sure that there's room, we would never try and put everybody up in our place as far as sleeping goes. So if we had a larger retreat, people could stay at, yeah, the nearby B&Bs, the cottages, all of which in La Vida are very well priced. The cottages that I usually stay at for a living room, a bedroom, a kitchen, and a bathroom is about $75 a night. You know, so if we ever have a large retreat there, we'll use the house during the day, but we won't try and have everyone sleeping all over the floor and stuff. We'll let people go to nearby places. Yeah, they're all within walking distance. Anyway, we saw this house on Thursday of this week, but I need to back up to Wednesday and tell you what happened on Wednesday. Sometime Wednesday afternoon, there was a fire that started. The next town over, which is Fort Garland, Colorado. Now, this was on the other side of a mountain range, so it seemed to be quite a distance at the time from La Vida, because there was an entire mountain range between the fire and La Vida. Thursday, we went and saw the house, and we sat down and we talked to the realtor about making an offer. We even decided on the terms of the offer, but she said that we needed to be pre-qualified on the loan first. So we left her with a promise to get pre-qualified for our loan, went to dinner, and when we came out of dinner, The fire was crossing the mountain range. It was just cresting at the top. You could see a few flames at the very top. Within 30 minutes, that fire devoured the mountains on the side of La Vida and began apparently heading towards La Vida. In fact, Norma and I were supposed to stay there that night, and the fires were coming close enough that we decided to go ahead and evacuate. So we left there and came back to my house about 9 p.m. that night. That fire is known as the Spring Fire. It was originally called the Spring Creek Fire because it started near Spring Creek, but they, you know, nicknamed it the Spring Fire. It has, in just a few days, grown to over 41,000 acres. Just to give you perspective, the Durango Fire, which is over by Craig Holiday's house, that has been going on for weeks, is only at about 44,000 acres. So this fire in just a few days, because it's such a fast-moving fire, has grown to be almost as large as that fire that's been burning for weeks and weeks over in Durango. The fire, last I heard, I haven't heard any news this evening, but the last I heard, the fire was 0% contained, which means that it is still a wildfire and it is still spreading. Right now, they have been able to, although they said they don't want to call it contained yet, they aren't comfortable calling it contained, they have been able to create some trenches filled with fire retardant between the fire and La Vida, so that in the last couple of days, the fire has been spreading north and south, but has not been spreading east, and east would be towards La Vida. It is very windy. It is very dry here. Windy and dry. Best conditions for a fire. So I think the town of La Vida is going to be okay, but nobody knows that for sure. The fire is big enough that if it sweeps through La Vida, it can burn down the entire town. The fire is bigger than the town. As I mentioned, it's a very small town, 779 people. The fire is bigger than the town. But right now, they've done a pretty good job of keeping it away from town. And in fact, the people in La Vida have not been evacuated. So one possibility is that, you know, a week from now, the house might not even be there anymore. But I actually, you know, with each day, I'm growing in confidence that La Vida is going to be okay and the house is going to be okay. But I mentioned a while ago that I was told to call the city and ask the city if we could have a retreat house there. This is why I haven't called. Because I was going to call them Friday morning, but Thursday night is when the fire crossed the mountain range and started heading towards La Vida. And I just felt like they have more important things to deal with right now. They got a lot of stuff going on, and it didn't feel right in me to call them with this question right now. So one thing that I am doing is waiting until I feel like everyone feels like La Vida is a little more secure, until kind of business gets back to somewhat normal, so I can call with this question and not seem completely insensitive to what they're going through right now. And Jay says, are these the same mountainsides I saw? You would have, whether you noticed them or not, I can't say, because there's lots of mountains around there. It's the mountains to the west. It's not the Spanish peaks. It's the mountains to the west. You may not have really noticed them. You know, they're mountains covered with trees, but they're not the specific ones that we always point out. But you probably saw them and just don't know you saw them. Another challenge with the fire, even if you know, the house does survive, the city does survive. And the funny thing is, this house is all the way on the other side of town. So in order for this house to be burnt, the fire would literally have to make it all the way through town first. This is the last house on the opposite side of town from the fire. But another challenge is, the house is owned by a man named Ricky Timms and his partner Justin. As I mentioned to y'all before, Ricky Timms is a world famous quilter. And in fact, if you want to, you can go look at his website. It's rickytimms.com, and Timms has one M in it. So it's rickytimms.com, rickytimms.com, and you'll see a picture of him. He's a cowboy, and it says musician and quilter, which is, You know, musician and cowboy goes together pretty well. Usually quilter and cowboy doesn't, but it does with Ricky Timms, because like I said, he's a world famous quilter. And if you happen to go to Ricky Timms' website, you'll notice on his homepage, he has an article about the devastating wildfire in La Vida. And he writes about that. He posted this morning, writing about the fire. He and his partner Justin recently built a new, I'm told, million-dollar house outside of La Vida, in an area I think that's called Yellowstone. Brand new, gorgeous home, we're told. And of course, that's why they're selling this house, is they're moving out to that house. Here's part of what Ricky Timms writes on his website about the fire. He says the entire town was in danger of being engulfed, but firefighters managed to create enough firebreak to make that attack manageable. The growth to the north and south and west continues to be fast and erratic. In other words, La Vida does seem pretty safe right now, but all other directions, the fire is still really growing. But then he writes, as a result, the new mountain house that Justin and I just built and finished in March this year is now facing the inevitable. So one possibility is, even if La Vida is safe, that Ricky Timms' new home could be destroyed, and they may have choose to stay where they're at least for a while. So the house could go off the market. Of course, there's even another possibility. Many people are definitely losing their homes, and so there's another possibility there could be a spike, you know, that people could suddenly want to buy homes in La Vida because they've lost their homes in the country around, and, you know, there could be things like bidding wars and that type of thing. And, you know, so there are some challenges that that are outside of anything we can do but watch, right? However, we did see the house on Thursday. We did communicate to our realtor that we wanted to make an offer, and our realtor did communicate that to the seller's realtor. So they are totally aware of our intention. So that takes me to our next challenge, which is the financial challenge. Let me tell you exactly where we're at financially and exactly what we need to make this happen. The house, as I pointed out, is the asking price is $359,000. Lynn's asking if there's fire insurance, and I don't know the answer to that question. The house is $359,000. Of course, you know, we'll make an offer, and there may be a counter offer, and, you know, so the price could end up someplace else. So what I did for my figures was I just guesstimated a price. We don't know what the actual price would be, but I guesstimated $340,000 as the purchase price. So that's the estimated purchase price for being able to figure out the money. I also estimated the closing costs that the purchaser would have, which includes the inspection, the bank appraisal, and the survey. And based on what the numbers the realtor gave me, I estimated that at $2,450 for closing costs. Since we're halfway through the year, we would only have to pay half a year's property tax. The property tax is $2,000 a year, so I estimated $1,000 a year property tax. Also, our insurance will be higher than most because we are a retreat house, not a private home. I actually still need to call and see what that insurance is going to be. But again, dealing with half a year of insurance, I estimated $1,500. There's also a railing that needs to be repaired around the deck. I estimated $500 to repair that railing. And so the total estimate that I have, which again has some guesswork in it, we have to see exactly where it lands, but the total estimate I have for buying the house is $345,450. That would be purchasing the house plus the costs associated with purchasing it. $345, right? $345, $450. After we purchased the house, there are still some other expenses. I've estimated $15,000 to buy furniture, kitchenware, towels, lawnmower, those types of things that we absolutely have to have. You know, I'm not worrying about things we don't need yet. We'll add to it, but the basics. And I even went shopping today and looked at beds and mattresses and that kind of thing, get some ideas. And then also, we need to have reserve funds. Because we may not have lots of people coming to the retreat house right away, but we're still going to have bills. We're still going to have, you know, taxes, insurance, propane, electricity, water, sewer, internet, and home maintenance. So we need to have a reserve fund that we can pay our bills from. And so I estimated $15,000 as the starting reserve fund. So when you add $15,000 for furniture, et cetera, and $15,000 for a reserve fund, that raises the total price to purchase the house and really do it in a financially secure way to $375,450. And that gets us everything we need to get started. Now, let me tell you about the money that we have. We may have more than you might be aware of. First of all, we've had a campaign running since November of 2014, and in that time, we have raised $153,131. That's as of today, $153,131. But we also have three individuals that are aware of our interest in this house and that have committed funds. And what I mean by committed funds is they have guaranteed that if an offer is accepted on this house, at that time they will make the donation. So they're making the donation when the offer is accepted. And I have a total of $110,000 in committed funds. So that takes us up to $263,131. In addition to that, I have what I'm going to call a guaranteed mortgage. And what I mean by that is we have someone who has said if we can get a mortgage that's around $500 a month, that if there are months when we can't pay it, this person will pay it, and this person's even willing to be a co-signer, right? So as long as we can pay the mortgage, we will. But if we can't, this person will pay it. So that's what I mean by a guaranteed mortgage. And that guaranteed mortgage is another $75,000. We went to the bank and they said if we wanted a payment of around $500, that would be a $75,000 mortgage. So if we add the raised funds that we've gotten since November of 2014, the committed funds and the mortgage together, that means that what we really have is $338,131. Now, as I mentioned, in order to really do this in a financially secure way, we need $375,450. The difference is $37,319. That's what we need, $37,319. So the reason I brought this to member meeting, we were able to get $110,000 since Wednesday of this week from three individuals who are willing to commit the funds. Again, they will give it if an offer is accepted. Otherwise, they keep their money. I'm just wondering if we can get some more commitments like that in order to get that remaining $37,319. Now, I know that not everybody has money. I'm fully aware of that. But what I'm wondering is if there are others who could commit, and I have a commitment letter, which I will post tomorrow morning, which you can print and fill out. And then I will also accept an electronic signature. But if you can commit a certain amount of money and say you will donate this if or when an offer isn't accepted. Just to let you know, I'm not asking you to do anything I haven't done myself. One of those commitment letters I signed a commitment letter for $5,000. I felt like that was genuinely the best that I could do. And then, as I mentioned, we have two other individuals who have also committed, and the total is 110,000. So you can tell we have some pretty nice commitments in there. So what I would like those of you who have some money, you know, I know some of you just don't at night, but I would like you to consider whether you could make a commitment that if an offer is accepted, and you've heard all about the fire and about the possibility that Ricky Tim's house is going to burn down and he'll have to stay in this one, you know, all of that. But if an offer is accepted, that once the offer is accepted, that you would send us a check for a specific amount. And what I'm curious to see is if we can raise that remaining $37,000 through commitments. So that we can go ahead and make the offer should the opportunity present itself in that way with everything that's going on. I don't know exactly when the coast will be clear to make an offer. Again, like I said, they're dealing with some other stuff right now, but I will talk to the realtor probably tomorrow. And depending on how safe they feel in La Vida and how safe Ricky Timms feels about his house and whether everybody's ready to move on or not, we could be making an offer as early as this Wednesday. I've already been to the bank once regarding the $75,000 loan. I'm going back tomorrow. Hopefully, we will have the pre-qualification letter from the bank in hand by Wednesday. That's what we need to make the offer. So if there's anyone here who feels they can make some kind of a commitment, I'd really appreciate getting that commitment tomorrow or Tuesday at the latest, because it's going to be very difficult for me, maybe impossible for me, to make an offer if I don't know that I have the funds to follow through. And again, we're pretty close. We're really close. Being $37,000 away is not that far away. So what questions do you have now? How does the fire look today? We have a commitment. Yay! We'll let you keep private how much, but I love that. Thank you. How does the fire look today? It's still growing, but it's growing north and south, so growing towards La Vida. What I don't know is whether it's growing towards Ricky Tim's new house or not, because I don't know where his house is. So again, that's another deal. Yay, more commitments. Yay! For the commitments, can I donate furniture and commit some of my income from working here? Let me answer. First of all, the furniture, let's wait and see. I mean, when somebody lives in Boston and wants to donate furniture, we have a really good furniture store here where the furniture isn't that expensive. It may cost just as much to send furniture from Boston as it would for us just to go down and buy the furniture. So let's not take those kinds of donations right now. People who live nearby and can throw it in their pickup truck and drive it down to the house, that might be okay. But yeah, the people who live far away, I don't know if that's really financially feasible. As far as donating, committing some of your income, you know, if anybody wants to do that kind of thing, continue to donate on a monthly basis, certainly we will accept those donations. Because again, we will have ongoing expenses, you know, and so of course, I'm never going to say no to a donation. That would be insane. I'm not insane. But again, what I need is things that I have so that when I go in on Wednesday, if I go in on Wednesday, things so that I know I have the money to make an offer and that I'm not doing something crazy and we're going to turn around and not be able to afford it. You know, that would be silly. So it's something a little different that I'm asking for right now. And again, what I will do is I will write up a commitment letter, which is like the letter that I signed and that others have signed. And tomorrow morning, on the daily update, a post will come out that will have the commitment letter there, and it will have blanks so you can fill in the blanks. Like, you'll be able to fill in the blank for how much you're committing. You will also be able to fill in the blank for when you'll send the check. But we really need the check pretty quickly after the offer is accepted. So like, I have committed, of course I live right here, I have committed to provide my check within 24 hours of the offer being accepted. Another person who doesn't live here has committed to putting their check in the mail within 24 hours of the offer being accepted. Some of you may want to make a commitment, but maybe your money is like in stocks or bonds or something like that. And what you need is to get that money out and then write a check or have your advisor send a check directly to us, and that may take a little longer. So you might want to write in something like 5 days after the offer is accepted. But most likely, based on what we talked about, the house will close 30 days after the offer is accepted. And I certainly need all of the money before then, because that's on the day we close, that's when I have to have all the money and be able to pay it. So if you say something like, I'll send the money 60 days after the offer is accepted, or even maybe even 20 days could be a risk. What if the check didn't arrive? So it needs to be whatever you put in that box. I would really say it should be between 1-5 days, maybe 1-10 days at the longest, if you think you need that long to get the money. Is there a minimum commitment amount? That's a really good question, Carmen. I asked myself that, and the answer that I got was a complete blank. So I guess the answer is no. There's no minimum commitment amount. You know, obviously we need a few good, you know, pretty high commitments in order to get there. But I think that anybody that feels in their heart to commit, will be graciously accepted. Cher asked if I'm going to live there. No, I will not live there. You know, I have a house right here in Pueblo, which is about an hour away. But in the beginning, I expect to be one of the people that is primarily down there working and making the retreat house available. Eventually, you know, who knows? We may have rotating volunteer caretakers, or we may have one caretaker that we hire and put in there. Who knows what will happen in the future? But in the beginning, I do imagine that those of us who live right here in Pueblo are going to be somehow working out how to make this happen, and I'll be one of those people. So I do expect to be down there a lot. But my residence will still be my house here in Pueblo. And we did go look at extra long twins today. I say that because I know some of you guys, like Jay, if you go to a retreat center that has twin beds, your feet hang off the end. An extra long twin is just as long as a king size bed. So it's still a twin, you know, but long. So we went and looked at those today. We looked at, they're right here in town, and we can buy those. So that's good news for you long people. any other questions? I will tell you, if we do make an offer on the retreat house and it is accepted, something else that I'll be asking for soon so that you can think about it are recipes. What we would like to do at the retreat house is provide a vegetarian, gluten-free diet. And by that I mean, as much as possible, make every dish vegetarian and gluten-free. So that we don't have to be cooking different food for different people. So any of you guys who have good vegetarian, gluten-free recipes, eventually I'll be asking for those. I'll create a retreat house cookbook so you guys can start thinking about those if you like. But that, again, would happen if we're able to make that offer and if the offer is accepted. And, of course, you've heard there's some stuff going on called the spring fire, so we'll have to see what happens. Yeah, it is interesting timing. Yes, Shauna is mentioning that you can check on the progress of the fire at INCI Web, and that is the website that I went and looked at. Does the fire happen each spring? No. No, in fact, it's been a very long time since there are fires every summer in the West. If you count Colorado, Utah, Arizona, California, Washington, put them all together, we have fires every year in the West. But there are not always fires in this particular area. In fact, there hasn't been a fire in a very, very, very long time. I don't know how long, but I will tell you that there are houses in La Vida that date back to 1900. So, you know, fires are not an everyday thing. What happened in this particular case, as far as I understand, it's a very dry year. We are in a drought, and in fact, La Vida had much less snow than they usually have in the winter, and the snow is a primary source of moisture for them, They've had much less. Plus, they've had almost no rain this summer. So it's very, very dry, the entire La Vida Valley and the San Luis Valley, which is next to it, on the other side of the mountains. So we have fire bans in effect here. In fact, you're not even allowed to smoke a cigarette outside right now. A man has been charged with arson, but from what I'm understanding from people who seem to think they know, although I don't know the facts because I haven't heard the facts on the news, so now maybe I'm spreading a rumor, but from people who seem to think they know, what happened is this individual is the type of individual who says, the government can't tell me when I can and cannot burn my trash. You know, they said he doesn't even like having a driver's license. The government can't tell me I have to have a driver's license to drive. You know, he's just that type. And what they're saying is he went out and burnt his trash in spite of the fire ban. And even though accidental fires do not normally count, as arson, I went and looked up the legal definition of arson last night. Let me read to you what I found. It says, accidental fires are usually not prosecuted as arson. If, however, an accidental fire occurs because of demonstrably gross negligence or a casual disregard for the consequences of setting the fire, these fires can cease to be judged as accidental and may instead be seen as arson fires. So he is charged with arson, and it may be true that what he actually did was burn his trash. It may not be that he, went out there and set a fire giggling, I can't wait to watch this. He might not have done that. He might have just been defiant and burnt his trash, and as a result has been arrested. He is not a U.S. citizen, and so he has been turned over to ICE. He's been turned over to immigration, but he is arrested. So, any other questions? Yeah, poor choice. Yeah. Well, I don't know the guy. You got to wonder how he feels about that, because he really did, if the stories are true, he really did only intend to burn trash. He did not intend to burn down people's homes and thousands of acres of forest and lots of animals, of course, are being probably killed, and in some cases, they're able to move to another place, but some displaced, right? But some are probably being killed. So, yeah. All right, so let me see if there's anything else I need to tell you. I will tell you that I have written a draft retreat house policy, which is currently under review with Jacqueline. And once Jacqueline finishes it with it, we'll let Lisa Hester look at it. Then it goes to the member board of trustees, and then it goes to the board of directors. But basically, it kind of really lays out the intent and purpose of the retreat house. But one thing I did put in there in my draft, Jacqueline says she worked on it today. Yay. One of the things I did put in my draft is that if the retreat house is not being used by Awakening Together, that we could also offer it as a VRBO house for additional income, only if we're not using it. So I just wanted to mention that to you, because in the beginning, if a lot of people aren't coming, we may need some way of getting some income, and so VRBO vacation rentals is another possibility. Just out of curiosity, how many of you are interested in coming to the retreat house? If we get it, how many of you would like to come? Okay, good. All right, good. Good, 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 good. Yeah, yay. Okay, so there we go. And I really feel in my heart that when people come, they will not only come back, but they will tell everyone else. So as people come, I think it will grow, because this is an incredible place. I've taken a few people there, and they've fallen in love as a result, and I think that will just continue to happen. Yeah, Jerry and we're speaking of it just today. Good, good. Yeah, so... All right, well, I think I have said everything I have to say. Will AT be able to carry the insurance? I still have to call, but yeah, I think we'll be able to manage everything. If we raise the money we have, I have to call about the insurance, and I will. I've kind of hesitated on that too, Because it feels a little funny calling an insurance company while there is a fire. You know what I mean? I wonder if their answer wouldn't be different if the fire is kind of away and they know the town is safe, you know. So there are a couple of these phone calls that I do know I need to make, but I procrastinated on because of the fire. The only thing I've really moved forward with is the bank. The other things I have on my to-do list, I'm kind of watching the fire and waiting until it feels like a good time. And of course, I'll use the realtors as a guidance as well. I even gave her a few days pause because she lives in La Vida. Just had a baby in May, has two other small children, and you know, and was concerned about losing their home. But as the people in La Vida feel more confident, we can begin working with them again. Carrie said, I also had an idea that we should apply for grant money, although that wouldn't occur in for this opportunity. It wouldn't occur in time for this opportunity. A couple of years ago, I looked for grant opportunities and was unable to find one. However, you know, that may be something we do in the future in order to expand, for example. Or if this opportunity, you know, doesn't happen, who knows. But again, does Lisa or Jacqueline, who've also seen the house, do either of you have anything you want to share? Or Jay, even, who's just recently in the area? Or Ken and Rebecca, who live here? Jay, the mic is yours.
Yeah, thanks, Regina. It was one of the most beautiful places I think I've ever been, even more beautiful than Tiru, which was a beautiful landscape of itself. It has a similar kind of elevated sort of vibe to the area that just sort of is very conducive for inward work in general, and silence, like how Regina was talking about during the guiding light. I did have the urge to want to keep it secret. Like, I had the urge, I don't want to tell anyone about this because I don't want other people coming in to ruin it, right? It is sort of a secret, honestly. There's not a lot of people there. It's, you know, a small town, but everybody in that small town knows full well what they've got there. And there's just, the beauty of it is amazing. I had a really big sort of change of heart about some loss of money that I'm looking at to sell my condo because I am planning to move to Pueblo West. But I actually was able to let go of any concerns about that loss of money in that moment of being there because it was so beautiful. Just as an area, it's amazing. So. And the house is right next to the lake, and then when you're on the other side of the lake looking back at the house, it looks like that's the only house that's on the lake. And when Regina says it's a few steps from the lake, she's not kidding. I mean, it's literally right there. It's not even 100 feet, and you walk through a little gate, and it's this beautiful little area. And I think rush hour at the lake, there were 4 cars there, you know, so it's never going to be overcrowded with people. And you're really close to the Spanish Peaks. Just breathtaking, just amazing. The pictures wouldn't do it justice. What I kept telling Jacqueline and Regina was that you really got to go there to see it. It's an in-person thing. You can't, nobody describing it or no picture would really do it justice. You got to go there. So that is my my advice, just, you know, just take a trip out there. Okay, giving up the mic.
Yeah, thanks, Jane. I did just post a link to some pictures that I took on Thursday morning prior to going inside the house. If you go and look at those pictures, what you will find is these pictures were taken shortly after dawn. In fact, I jumped in the car in my pajamas and went to take these pictures while the sun was rising. So the first picture is the picture of the lake just after the sun rose, which is the Wauhatoya Lake, which is right next door to the house. The second picture is the picture of the Spanish Peaks from the house. So this is I'm standing at the house looking at the Spanish Peaks, and you can see what they look like. The third picture is the pasture across the street from the house with the two horses and the zonkey. And then the Fourth picture is downtown La Vida, so you can see what that looks like. And the fifth picture is a picture of church, of a church there in town. So if you want to get a feel for what La Vida kind of looks like, you can go and look at those pictures. They're also on my Facebook page. I also have some pictures of the fire. Let me go ahead and give you, these are pictures that I took. Let me give you those, that link as well. So you'll, that's the link to pictures of the fire. The very first picture is actually of Spot, the Zonkey, coming over the fence to say hi. But then the second picture is what the fire looks like. Actually, when I took this picture, I was standing at the house that we're interested in buying. So this is what the picture looked like from the house. Third picture is Thursday evening. I drove up the highway and took this picture. This is when the fire was getting bigger, but it was still not close to La Vida. I drove up the highway to take this picture. And then you'll come to a picture where you'll see just some fire at the top of the mountains. That's when we first saw it starting to cross over. And then you'll see a picture of what the fire looked like as it was coming closer from my cottage front door. You'll see all of the cottages, and you'll see the fire in the background. And then you'll see a picture where it's really four mountains completely ablaze, and I took this picture as Norma and I were evacuating. We were leaving town, and I stopped and took a picture, and you'll see it. So, and then I think I took a couple of pictures like that. So those pictures are all there available for you to see either in Facebook or using the links that I just gave. So Jacqueline or Lisa, do either of you have anything to share? All right, Jacqueline, the mic is yours.
Hey, everybody. Yeah, I just want to say what a perfect place this is. You know, originally we started looking at bigger properties, but this is really, really ideal for us. And it's amazing, too, because we have the same beautiful views, and we have all of this beauty. The lake is beautiful, and I am so thrilled about that because, you know, I'm a water girl. I like to hike, but, man, do I love the water. And there it is, right next to this house. No maintenance, fully accessible. I have I personally have a kayak and a stand-up paddleboard. I'm real excited about getting out there on that lake with those. but you know, it's what the thing about it, it's like Mayberry, like Regina said, it's just the sweetest little town. And, the people there will just stop and talk and talk, you know, that sort of thing. There is a real peaceful feeling to be there. And, Jay and I really got a taste of that when, we walked around the lake and then we walked back with the views of the map. It's breathtaking. It's absolutely breathtaking. And, there's just a real peaceful feeling to all of it. And, so, what we've talked about in the past about the, the contemplative personal retreats, is fully available in this house, and I'm just real excited about all of it. So, Regina, thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Jacqueline. I'm wondering if Lisa is here and if Lisa has anything to share. She might not be here. She's working at a golf tournament. She's volunteering at the Seniors Open, so she may not be here. Okay, she's not here. All right, then. So, Ken or Rebecca, do either of you have anything to say about La Vida? I know you haven't seen the house, but of course you guys know Ricky Timms, the guy who owns the house. Is there anything that you want to share before I let go of the mic? No. Okay, so again, I will create a letter with a couple of blanks. I'll make a post. That post will come out tomorrow morning on the daily update. You'll also be able to find it if you go to Things to Read, after tomorrow morning at Things to Read, Awakening Together News. You'll find the post there with the commitment letter. For those of you who are feeling guided to make a commitment, Again, the money doesn't need to be paid unless an offer is accepted. Otherwise, the money stays in your pocket. But it would be really helpful to me if I could receive your commitments by Tuesday evening, since I could be making an offer as early as, well, I guess Wednesday's a holiday. So I guess you got through Wednesday, and the earliest I could make an offer is Thursday this week because of the holiday. But if you could just get me those commitment letters as soon as possible, the sooner I get them, the sooner I am able to make an offer. Let's just put it that way, because I need to make sure I have the money that's necessary. All right, everyone, thank you very much for your attention. Thank you for coming to this meeting, and we'll see what happens. And I guess I also want to say, you know, I would love to get this house, but if it doesn't work out that way, I'm happy with that too. I just choose to be happy, period. So we'll see what happens. All right, bye, everyone.